Hello. Good morning. I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. Today we are talking about healthy ways to lose weight, get moving, and feel great with Jill Fleming. Jill Fleming, MSRD, is a registered dietitian with her master's degree in nutrition. For the past 17 years, she has been teaching audiences how to make simple lifestyle choices to improve their health. She spent over 10,000 hours researching the lifestyle habits of thin people for her book, Thin People Don't Clean Their Plates. Jill has discovered that when you copy the habits of people who are thin, healthy, and energetic, you too can be thin, healthy, and energetic. And note that thin is considered ideal body weight. Jill, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're here. You know, in your book, there are a lot of testimonials from very happy clients, and I wanted to start by reading one. I was skeptical about another diet plan because I've tried them all. This approach definitely is definitely different, not a diet at all, and it works. Joan K. Now, this ties in with your first chapter, Thin People Don't Diet. So can you tell us about your approach to a healthy lifestyle?
Yes, it's truly not about dieting. And basically, the problem is a lot of people think to lose weight, they have to go on a diet or deprive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of get into that all or nothing mentality, that they're either on a diet or off a diet, which is one of the worst things you can do for your metabolism. It actually slows down the metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
The body gets used to being in the feast or famine cycle with the diet or binge cycle, and so you're never truly raising your metabolism to continue burning more calories.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about that in your book. You say a surefire way to gain weight is to diet.
Exactly, yes, because your body becomes so efficient at saying, okay, we're not going to have much food now, burn relatively few calories, and then when the food does start coming in, when you can't take the diet any longer and you need to go back to your old way of eating, we tend to take in extra calories, and then the body says, okay, store up for the next, you know, time that we have a shortage.
Exactly. And I also understand that you were inspired some experiences that you went through of gaining weight when you were in school. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, when I was in college, it was amazing because I always heard that you would gain between 10 and 15 pounds your freshman year of college.
Oh, yeah, freshman 15.
Yeah, I braced myself for that. And it ended up in the first 2 years, I gained 40 pounds.
Mm.
And it was a combination of just really poor lifestyle choices. And I did exactly the opposite of what I teach audiences to do today.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of stress. I didn't know how to handle the stress. I didn't get very good sleep. I didn't eat breakfast. Terrible intake of diet soda and water or no water, and just really made really poor nutrition choices.
Oh, okay, so then you made some changes. And what was the biggest change that you made first?
The biggest change that I made was to buy a bicycle.
Oh, great.
And I thought, you know, I'm living, you know, within 5 minutes of every place that I go, so I'm going to have to make a point to, you know, hop on a bike and go for a ride. And as soon as I got on that bicycle, I could not believe how much it took me back to my childhood. I had fun, it felt good again, and that's what I teach audiences as well, that when you remember what you did as a kid that you enjoyed doing, try it again as an adult. Was it doing the hula hoop? Was it playing, you know, doing the Chinese jump rope? I do that with my daughter, and I can't believe what a workout that is.
That's great. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the hula hoop. I did a whole show on hooping with Allison Mackey, and if people can, you know, I'll mention my site at the end. It was a great show, and you can go and listen to it. It's online. And yeah, it was great. And then I had a hooping party actually at my house.
Oh, fun.
My husband and some friends. At first, my husband's like, I don't want to hoop. And then he was, I mean, but he was like a natural. And everyone had such a good time. So yeah, it was great. You feel like a kid again.
Yeah, and that's just it. If it feels like work, like, oh, I have to go for a long walk or for a run, find out what it was that, you know, you used to do. Was it swimming? Try it again. It's amazing how it just takes you back. And then when you don't have to have it hanging over your head as it being work, it's more fun and exciting. You're more likely to do it.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned the diet soda, which I know is a big no-no. And so many women, I'm sure men drink it too, they don't understand that it's really not a healthy option.
Well, you know, the more chemicals and processed foods that we take into our body, the harder the liver has to work to get these extra chemicals and process things out of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the liver is the organ that metabolizes fat.
Okay.
So if we're overworking it by sending in all of these chemicals and processed foods, that organ, the liver, is not available to metabolize fat and break it down to be used for energy.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's really interesting. So you started drinking more water, and that's something you talk about in your book. You have a chapter on that, I believe.
Yes, and drinking water is very important. And a lot of people will say, well, I drink water when I'm trying to lose weight. And I will ask them, why do you drink water? And they're not really sure. Well, of course, it is because hunger and thirst are very similar experiences so that you're thinking that you're hungry when you're really thirsty is one of them, mm-hmm. but the physical breakdown of body fat cannot be done without water.
Oh.
So if you do not have enough water coming in, if you're a little bit on the dehydrated side, even if you're doing everything else perfect, your body cannot release that stored body fat.
Now, is eight glasses of water, that's still recommended?
That's usually a really good starting point.
Okay.
I like to ask people to just, you know, take note of their urine when they go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Is it non-cloudy, more of clear, and absence of odor?
Okay.
Those are two really good indicators that you're drinking enough water for you. It's
okay.
different for every person, but we usually just say eight's, you know, a good ballpark to start.
Okay, so we got to get moving. We got to find something we enjoy doing.
Yeah.
We drink more water, and you have a chapter on eating breakfast. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, you know, we've always heard breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and we should eat it. And it is. It's good as far as, you know, kids making sure that they're alert and their brains have the energy, the carbohydrates to think more clearly. But as far as weight loss goes, for our metabolism, it's essential. It is the one change that you can make to your diet that will raise your metabolism the most significantly. And some people say, yeah, I eat breakfast about 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll grab, you know, something. If they're waking up at 5, that's 5 hours where they've not really started burning calories because their digestion has not been awakened yet. So the sooner you can eat after waking, the better.
You know, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because when I read that in your book, I thought, geez, I get up really early. And I'm busy taking care of my daughter, and I usually, you know, drink a glass of water, and then I go and walk the dogs for an hour first. And I've always been thin my whole life, except I don't know what happened. I turned 40, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, what's going on around here? And I used to eat breakfast, right? I mean, I'm still in good shape, but still, my body's definitely changing. And so anyway, I read that, and I thought, oh, you know what? I should eat something first, even if it's just a little something, because I've already been up for 2 hours, and I haven't eaten anything yet.
Exactly.
You know?
And it can be as simple as when you get done with your walk, you know, you eat a half a banana before you go shower and get ready for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or a couple of graham crackers. It can be anything small,
okay.
just something that you're actually chewing, and it will get down to the stomach, and the process of digestion starts that metabolism burning calories.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it definitely makes a difference. So now I get up before I take the dogs out. I'll definitely, you know, and it's just important, too, to make time for yourself.
Exactly.
And to make sure that you're eating. Now, tell us about the thin choices strategy. What's the most important thin choice strategy?
Well, there are about 10 thin choices strategies,
okay.
but I would say one of the most important strategies
mm-hmm.
is to, basically the title of the book, Thin People Don't Clean Their Plates.
Okay.
So it's stopping eating when you're no longer hungry.
Okay.
And over in my research with thin people, I found that when they hit the point of satisfied or no longer hungry, the thin people were able to stop eating.
Okay.
The overweight group that I researched tended to say, oh, well, you know, it's wasting food, or it tastes so good, or I'll eat less later.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed to clean the entire plate,
mm-hmm.
eat everything that was on the plate and belonging to the Clean Plate Club.
Oh, yeah.
And the interesting thing is when your stomach does reach capacity, you've had enough volume of food going in, your stomach pushes up on your diaphragm, and you actually have just a little, that lets out, a little sigh. And if you listen for that, it will happen before you think that you're done eating.
Oh.
And so listening for that little sigh is a good indicator that you've probably had enough volume of food.
Okay.
So maybe one or two bites after that, and then you should truly be stopping. Wrap it up for later, or you know, even using smaller plates and all those tricks will work.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
It does work, but truly, if you learn to listen to your body, it's okay if the next time you go to that picnic and you overload your plate, you can hear your sigh and say, oh, I need to stop. Or my body's telling me I've had enough volume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's why I put on some weight.
My
husband's listening. He's like, you're not only a plate cleaner. I'm going back for thirds. But, you know, it's funny because all my choices are healthy. So I'll be like, yeah, but it's 100% whole grain pasta. Yes, I've had three portions or, you know, and I'm wondering if you find that with people, too, if they are eating the right foods. But if you're eating too many of the right foods, there's calories. You're still going to gain weight. And that's something that I've been struggling with, you know. So
exactly. And as we get older, if we don't do something to make sure we hang on to that lean muscle mass, continue
mm-hmm.
to play, do your hula hoop, maybe do some push-ups or lift some weights or do a kettlebell exercise, doing something, we are going to naturally decrease our metabolism
yeah.
because muscle burns so many more calories than fat does.
Okay.
So it's basically our metabolism will slow if we don't do something to hang on to that muscle mass.
All right. So even just lifting light weights while you're watching television, or I've started doing Pilates. I love Pilates.
Right.
I do yoga. I love yoga. There's a lot of fun, gentle things that you can do for your body that are really fun. I've been, again, hooping. So there's some good stuff. Can you tell us about some of the other Thin Choice strategies?
When you're listening to your body, mm-hmm. and you know that you should eat when
yes.
you start getting hungry, some people ignore that initial hunger signal.
Oh, yes. And then you end up eating a lot.
Exactly. And so planning ahead is a great strategy. If you just kind of plan ahead that you need to eat something every 3 to 4 hours,
okay.
if you are stopping when you're satisfied, and when we're looking at weight loss, ultimately, each of your choices for snacks or meals should contain a good source of fiber and mm-hmm. a good source of protein.
Okay.
An easy example that travels really well, I have a client that just said, you know, I'm traveling on an airplane. What can I take with me? And I said, take some almonds. You could stick them in a little tin, like an Altoid tin.
Oh.
String cheese travels well. Apples. So if you had an apple and some string cheese, that's a combination. The fiber comes from the fruit, and the protein comes from the string cheese. That's a great little snack that'll hold you over a couple of hours till you can eat your next meal.
Okay. Yeah, I tend to carry snacks with me. I definitely think that's a good idea because I notice that, you know, those second and third and, you know, fourth helpings are coming because if you haven't eaten for a few hours, and I think that's the other thing about eating when you wake up, getting back to that, is if I had eaten sooner, I wouldn't come home after walking the dogs and being like, I'm going to inhale my cereal and not even realize whether I'm full or not and just keep eating.
Exactly.
Because I have that. Oh, my gosh, I'm so hungry.
And you're able to eat slower and
yes.
to chew a little bit more.
Yes.
And one of the strategies that we look at with the Thin Choices is also to increase your intake of fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And when you slow down that chewing, the process of digestion begins in the mouth with the saliva.
Mm-hmm.
So you will have less of an issue with the flatulence that a lot of people complain about.
Yeah.
I've got so much gas with all these fruits and vegetables. Well, they're eating so fast that they're really not breaking them down well enough before they travel through the GI tract.
Oh,
when we increase our fruits and vegetables, I also like to tell people, if your goal is weight loss, you should be consuming somewhere between 8 and 10 servings of fruits and vegetables a day.
Wow.
And that's only about the size of a tennis ball for a serving size.
Okay. Yeah.
And it sounds overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
and particularly since most Americans only consume about 2 servings a day.
Mm, yeah.
You've got to increase this slowly.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you can get stomach issues, right, if you don't,
yeah.
even if you chew really well.
And it's because of the fiber, that your body is just not used to the fiber initially.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're currently eating, you know, 2 servings of fruits or vegetables a day, increasing that by 2 servings a day and keep it there for a couple of days before you add more.
I see.
But one of the best kept secrets is a smoothie.
Oh my God. So I was just thinking that I do that every single day. I have a Vitamix, which is amazing.
Oh,
the Vitamix is the best, and I love it. And so you can take, because what's nice is you can use the whole fruit. So you
can even grind up the avocado pit and the core of the pineapple with the Vitamix.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
it. It's amazing. Yeah,
that is true. It does pretty much grind up. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I make smoothies every day. And my, you know, my daughter, recently she was ill and had to be in the hospital, and she had never had fruit juice before. Now, she calls it fruit drink, which is a
uh-huh.
smoothie. She calls it fruit drink. And it was different. She was like, this is really sweet. Like, it was just so
yeah.
concentrated, you know, when you make the fruit drink and you use the whole fruit, it just comes out much nicer. It's a much better for you and better taste.
Exactly. And you're getting it fresh, so you know that all the vitamins and minerals are still, you know, active and right available.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the interesting things that a lot of people making smoothies are starting out, and maybe they're using milk and maybe a banana and some berries.
Okay.
As you get used to making your smoothies, and that's a great starter smoothie,
mm-hmm.
but as you get used to them and you become a little more advanced and you don't need them quite so sweet, you can start adding vegetables.
Yeah, you know, that's another nice thing with the Vitamix. That's great. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because you can hide a zucchini in there and not even know that.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
My smoothie this morning had frozen spinach in it, and I put up probably a quarter of a beet in it. Because I'm not a big vegetable eater as far as sitting down and eating the vegetables, but when I stick them in a smoothie and I can get 3 servings of vegetables in my smoothie, it's just so easy to do. And my daughter, who's 9 and hates vegetables,
yeah.
drinks her vegetables.
Oh my
and she makes them herself, so she knows what's in it. And she's like, I can't even taste the spinach in my smoothie. And her little girlfriends are looking at her like she's crazy. So it's just, it's easier than you think.
Well, after this, I'm going to the store and getting some zucchini because my daughter has a great diet, but she's not big on a lot of vegetables. And I didn't even, it's funny because here I know these things and I didn't even think of it. I was like, you know, I do the fruits, but I'm always concerned about the vegetables. And another thing, too, is like spaghetti sauce. You can get, you know, zucchini and grind it up or carrots and stuff, right, to sort of add vegetables to other things, too?
I sometimes put sweet potatoes or canned pumpkin into my spaghetti sauce.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. And there are a couple of the sweeter, you know, vegetables, so you can't even tell that they're in there. And my son will always say, this is the best spaghetti sauce I've ever had.
Got to send me the recipe.
So funny. Yeah, another trick that I use as far as increasing fiber is I use black beans in my brownies.
Really?
Which sounds a little strange.
I know black beans. No, I could see that. I'm feeling you there. That sounds good.
It makes them just really fudgy. And all it is two ingredients. And it does start with a box of brownie mix, but then a can of black beans that you puree. Stick it in your blender, blend it up. You don't drain it or anything. Mix the two together, and you bake them, basically like you would your regular brownies.
Oh, okay.
I have a smoothie recipe, more of an advanced smoothie recipe.
Oh, go for it.
And a brownie, brownie recipe on my website as well.
Oh, great. All right. Yeah, give us your website now, and we can get it again later.
Okay, it's thinchoices.com, T-H-I-N, choices.com.
Now you wrote this book, which is great, by the way, I want everyone to go out and get it because it's a really great book. And it's just, it's so easy to do. And there was something that you wrote in the book that is so true, that if you're thinking about changing your lifestyle and you're looking at stuff and it's, you know, if this is something you're not going to do, then you got to move on and find something that's going to work. And this, it totally works. The suggestions make sense. They're easy to do. They're small changes. It's not overwhelming.
I think that's truly it. If it's a program that you're looking at and you say, well, I could do that for 6 months or until I lose the weight, but then you're planning to go back to your old way of living, chances are pretty good that your weight's going to come back.
Yeah.
I'm much more interested in people making small changes. If you can, you know, start eating an apple and a string cheese at 3 o'clock so you're feeling more in control and not, you know, starving at 5 o'clock for dinner, that's a change you can live with forever.
Mm-hmm.
If you start making a smoothie, you know, for breakfast every day to replace, maybe it's, you know, eggs and hash browns at the local restaurant, huge improvement. And when you find that you have that smoothie and it gives you such a surge of energy, almost like caffeine, but without the downside, because the energy just seems to stay high when you're drinking a smoothie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
It's the vitamins and minerals that your body is actually craving that are satisfying your body.
Yeah, you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I used to work with a woman who would have a huge cup of coffee and donuts every morning. And I am a food snob, I admit it right now. You know, it would drive me crazy because I'm thinking, well, of course you need the coffee because the donuts, I mean, my God, I don't think there's a worse thing you could eat. And then, you know, but then she's like, you know, but she feels okay because the coffee keeps you going for a little while, but you're going to crash.
That is so funny that you say that.
Oh, man.
Especially about the donut being the worst food that you could eat.
Yeah.
Because it combines both sugar and fat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the sugar-fat combination is optimal for fat storage.
Okay.
So if you're going to, you know, go out and have that, you know, fast food burger today that's loaded, you know, that's not the best choice. But if you pair that with a big, you know, 32-ounce regular soda, the sugar from the soda will increase your insulin in your body, which is a fat storage hormone.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like opening the door to your fat cells, and then in comes the cheeseburger. So if you really wanted to have that big fat cheeseburger, and who doesn't crave that? Every once in a while, you really just want the Big Mac. I just want the Big Mac. Then you have the Big Mac with the water. Mm-hmm. Skip the fries. That's not a terrible choice, and it ends up being around 500 calories.
Yeah.
It can certainly fit into your day if you started your day with a smoothie, and maybe you're having, you know, a salad with some chicken breast at dinner.
Exactly.
It's all about balance.
Exactly. That's the other thing, too, is I think, like, I tend to go on, you know, over extreme. No white flour, no sugar, no this, no that. And then there's times where I'm like, I just need a cake, you know, or if I could find more balance, you know, I wouldn't have those kinds of ups and downs. But I haven't eaten, I'm 41. I'm going to be 42 in August, not afraid to say it. And I have not eaten fast food since I was 15.
Wow.
And it was
good
funny because I hadn't had a donut since I was 15. And for a job I had a few years ago, I was traveling and I'd heard about those, I can't remember what they're called now. It's not the Dunkin' Donut, but it's another one.
The Krispy Kreme?
The Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
So I was on a layover in North Carolina. And they just smelled really good. And I called my husband. I was like, should I get a donut? He's like, go for it. You know, just come on. You're too hard on yourself. I said, I know, but I'm going to break my 20-whatever year, you know, record. And I got it. And I took one bite. And I was like, oh, it's just too, I'm sure for people who liked it, it was just so sweet. I was like, why did I break my record? Why did I do it? You know.
But, you know, the big thing is, I think, all about the attitude.
Yes.
Because a thin person will say, I had a little treat, or I tried one of those Krispy Kreme donuts and treated myself today,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to feeling, oh, I blew it, now I'm going to eat a whole box of Krispy Kreme donuts and start again Monday, which is, again, the all-or-nothing way of thinking. So it's okay if you want to have a donut or have an occasional fast food, you know, choice. Not beating yourself up over it and not thinking, well, I blew it for the weekend, I may as well pig out all weekend and start again Monday.
Yeah. That's, you know, and speaking of pigging out, you talk about in your book, there's a 20-minute distractibility strategy, and that could come in handy when you feel like pigging out, or if you know that you're not hungry and you just feel like eating because you're bored. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, if you just finished eating a meal, you know, an hour ago, and you're thinking, oh, now what can I eat, and you're looking through the cabinets, it's probably that you're not truly hungry. Mm-hmm. Maybe your mouth just wants something, but your body doesn't physically need food. Set the kitchen timer for 20 minutes. Find something to do that involves both your brain and your hands.
Okay.
So if you wanted to play the piano, if you wanted to clean a closet, if you wanted to, maybe it's go for a walk where you're just outside. Get outside and pull some weeds. Do anything else for 20 minutes. When the timer goes off, if you still want something to eat at that point, most likely they're just passed.
Okay.
But have a glass of water and then figure out what it is that you want to eat. Have a small portion, sit down at the table and eat it, and then be done with it.
All right.
And move on. No. And the more you do this, the more you don't respond to your mind's craving or your mouth's craving for food, the less of these cravings you'll have.
All right. Yeah, you talk about that. You were saying that there's a difference between, you know, feeling hungry, obviously, and then the whole emotional overeating. And that's a real tough one. 'Cause I know
a lot of people.
I have some food sensitivities. And let me tell you, if I didn't, I would be gigantic. I say that all the time. No, just knowing from my personality, you know, I mean, I think I've always been health conscious, but I would be having, you know, my 10th serving of whole grain pasta or brown rice or whatever. You know, so I think that's important that it is. I mean, it can be an addiction, you know?
Yeah. And those starchy foods are just such comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's macaroni and cheese, homemade mac and cheese. It just takes me back to, you know, your mother's arms wrapped around you, or fresh baked bread with peanut butter. My mother and I could sit and eat a whole loaf of that.
It just
makes me happy thinking about it. But you realize that that's, you know, infrequent, and it's a treat to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, a lot of people feel hungry all of the time, and it's because they're not getting the actual nourishment that their body needs. And it's huge. Once you start adding some more fruits and vegetables and some healthy foods to your diet, you will find that you're not hungry and feeling as out of control as you previously did.
Oh, okay.
If you take in 2,000 calories and you ate all of them in baked potato chips, you'd say, it's not a bad choice. They're baked, but your body is still hungry. Why am I still hungry? I've already eaten 2,000 calories. Because they weren't good quality calories that nourished your cells. So your body says, you know, we need more food, but it's really asking for nutrition.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that happens with a lot of people, especially in our culture where everyone's on the go and in a hurry. It just seems like, you know, it takes longer, you know, but it really, I mean, if you just, you know, frozen vegetables, for example, you know,
right.
I tell that to people all the time, you know, just have things in the house, you know, make sure that you have whole grains that are cooked already in the fridge, or have some lean chicken, or, you know, something. So when you come home, you don't want to be like, okay, what am I going to have for supper? I don't know if that's something you recommend to people,
exactly.
But, you know, have things in your house that are healthy that you can throw together.
The supper meal is the meal that most people have the inconsistency with.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in the habit where I was just busy and all of a sudden it was 5 o'clock and I'm like, oh, throw in a frozen pizza. And my 7-year-old said, oh, not pizza again. And
what?
I thought, what am I doing?
Oh,
we had a really busy month, and I thought, this is crazy, a kid complaining about pizza. Of course, I would stick out, you know, the baby carrots and the applesauce, and we'd have, you know, the healthy foods going with it. Mm-hmm. But still, it would just really was an eye-opener for me. For our family, we would sit down every Sunday night and decide, what do we want to eat this week? And what we came up with was a list that we're rotating the same, probably 7 to 10 meals through our house, which most people do. And it ended up, we have a little pattern. Monday's pasta night. Sometimes it's lasagna. Sometimes it's fettuccine Alfredo. Sometimes it's just some kind of a source of pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday's always taco night in our house.
Ooh.
In the winter, that's Wednesday nice. Is crockpot night. And in the summer, it's grilling night.
Oh, that's great.
Thursday, we don't plan anything. We always have leftovers. And Friday's our pizza night.
Okay.
And just kind of knowing that we have a little bit of structure, mm-hmm. the kids will come home from school and say, I'm so excited it's pasta night.
Oh,
and they
great.
Keep me kind of in line. And it's they pick out the fruits and the vegetables, and mom knows what the main dish is. And it really has prevented us from falling into that habit of, let's just run and grab some burgers, or let's just throw pizza in.
Oh.
But we are all pretty busy. And if you're going to make your chicken breasts, make 10 chicken breasts.
Yes.
And
exactly.
freeze the leftover. Cut it into strips. You can pull it out and make one night salad night.
Oh,
so whatever
idea.
Works for your family.
I've never had frozen chicken. Oh, no, I have. That tastes pretty good, actually, if you take the chicken and you can freeze it and then reuse it.
Yeah, or okay. you're browning up some hamburger. I mean, do 5 pounds and then freeze them in little 1 pound containers. And if it's taco night, you pull that 1 pound freezer, you know, out. Throw it in your pan and then add your taco seasoning.
Now,
if you want the meat and spaghetti for mm-hmm. pasta night, you pull it out, throw in your spaghetti sauce, and it takes 10 minutes to cook your dinner.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, on cooking the beef, I think you'd mentioned to put it in water. Doesn't that get rid of a lot of fat?
When you brown your ground beef, you want to brown it
mm-hmm.
and then drain it
okay.
and then rinse it.
Oh, you
and
rinse it.
And some people think that sounds strange. But you will decrease the saturated fat content in that meat by over 50%.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't change the flavor of the meat. And the big thing is don't season it, of course, until you're done rinsing it. Then you add your garlic, onions, whatever else you're planning to add to your meat.
You know, I wish my mom had known this because she literally was so particular. She would do the meat and then she would put it in the refrigerator overnight. And then she would take the spoon and take the fat off the top. Then she would do it again. And it's like, mother, it's okay. It's just a little fat, you know?
And it's so easy to do. We used to have that bright orange color on our tacos the next day where the fat came to the top. We no longer have that because we've rinsed the fat away.
And they still taste great.
Yeah, and you're getting a good lean source of protein, even if you didn't purchase the leanest protein to start with.
Now, talking about great taste, you talk about the art of sensuous eating. Can you tell us about that?
Truly, it's about slowing down and really tasting your food.
Mm.
In particular, when you're eating something that you really enjoy. One time, my husband and I were sitting down to share a pound of peel and eat shrimp, and he was eating so fast that I was eating so fast. I wanted to make sure I got my share, and I realized I'm not even tasting this.
Mm.
And I said, stop. And I went and got my own plate, set it down, took the amount of shrimp I knew I probably wanted, and I slowed it down. If I'm eating chocolate, same thing. I don't want it the hectic, crazy, picking kids up and running them to soccer practice, throwing in some chocolate, not even tasting it. Putting it in your mouth, just letting it melt and really enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. Well, next week, actually, we're having two nutritionists who wrote a book called Chocolate, A Healthy Passion on the program because dark chocolate is good for you.
Oh,
and I eat dark chocolate every day, and I do that. I put it in my mouth, and I just let it sit for a while, you know, and just let it sit.
In a bubble bath with some candles and some soft music. And I have 3 small children, so if I am finding a way to do that, I'm sure anyone can find time to take their dark chocolate and go really enjoy it.
Goodness. Well, we only have a few minutes left, so if there's anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't touch on, that would, you know, just whatever you want to say. You're wonderful, and your book is wonderful, and I'm just so glad that you came on today.
I do have a live presentation that I did that's a whole hour of talking about these simple lifestyle choices actually to energize your life.
Great.
And it's a free DVD. You only have to pay the shipping, and that's on my website, thinchoices.com as well.
Oh, okay.
And another really good tip when you're making changes is to just write down what you're doing, even if it's in a notebook.
Okay.
But anyone can also download a free PDF of my lifestyle diary. And again,
great.
That's at binchoices.com. So those are just some things to get people started.
Okay.
And when you're writing down what you're eating and what you're drinking, it's amazing how all of a sudden you're almost like a dietitian, you know, analyzing what your choices are.
Yeah, and I think that really helps. I mean, even I had a friend who, you know, was trying to save money and just writing down all the money you spend on little things, all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness. So it's the same kind of thing. If you're writing down all the things you're eating, you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and it increases accountability to yourself. And that is huge. It makes a huge difference.
It does. Now, the one thing that I did want to ask before we close is, I do know people that are heavier that I actually think are healthier than some thin people that I know. Like, there's some people that are just genetically thin, but they eat just junk. And then there's some people I know who are heavier who actually eat well and move their bodies. So I just was curious what your opinion on that is, because I do think that you can be a little heavier and still be healthier than a thin person who eats, you know, nothing but donuts and coffee and doesn't exercise. What's your feeling about that?
If somebody is a little bit on the heavy side, but they've got great muscle mass and they're exercising and they're eating pretty well, and their cholesterol's fine, their blood pressure's fine, everything, great. But if they have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, they might just mainly want to look at the portions.
Okay.
Because like you said, even if it's great quality food that they're eating,
I see.
And they may be exercising, so they think that they can eat a little bit more for volume.
Oh, okay.
And it's truly that they're probably taking in more calories than their body does need.
Okay.
So just decreasing the portions, listening for that sigh when your body's had enough food would make a huge difference, and they probably would just naturally drop weight, because their muscle mass is probably already pretty good with a high metabolism.
And what would you say to people that are thin who just don't take care of themselves because they're just lucky genetically?
I mean, catches up with you.
Okay, that's right. Because I lived with this woman once, and I mean, she was really thin, but I mean, all she ate was junk food. And she's like, but it doesn't matter because I'm thin. I said, yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's not healthy. So
I can't tell you how many of my clients will come to me and say, I've been thin my whole life, and until I turned 35 or until I turned 40, it didn't impact me, and now I don't know what to do. That's about relearning entirely how to eat, what to eat, when to eat, why to eat, and it's huge trying to relearn that in your 40s. Starting now, just adding a couple fruits and vegetables and realizing that high metabolism is not going to last forever. Plus, you might not be healthy on the inside.
Exactly.
What do your arteries look like? And that's huge. You can't see that, and all of a sudden you have a heart attack. Go, wow, it did make a difference.
Exactly.
I wouldn't take the chance. And the amount of energy you're going to have when you improve your diet, you won't ever want to go back to your old way of eating the donuts and the junk food daily.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd choose not to.
It's true. Well, you have been so inspiring, and I encourage everyone to get your book. Go to the website, thinchoices.com. And again, next week, we're going to be joined by Monica Bearden and Shara Aaron, both dietitians, nutritionists, to talk about their book, Chocolate, A Healthy Passion. I'm very excited about that. And for more information, you can go to itsyourhealthradio.org, and you can listen to past shows. This show will be up in a few days, so make sure to tell all your friends who missed it today. Jill, I want to thank you again so much for coming on. And everyone,
thank you so much, Lisa.
Yeah, everyone have a great week and keep being healthy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.